Should a baker be allowed to refuse to make a wedding cake for a gay couple? The US Supreme Court has ruled in favour of a Colorado baker who turned away a gay couple who wanted a wedding cake. At the centre of the case is an argument about religious freedom. The decision, which was a highly anticipated one, has sparked conversation in Australia about our own infrastructure for protecting religious freedoms. There is, as I said, a review going on about this very issue. Andrew Bragg directed the Liberals and Nationals for Yes campaign during the postal survey on marriage equality. And Michael Stead is the Bishop of South Sydney. Welcome to both of you.
Good evening, Patricia. Good evening, Andrew.
G'day.
Andrew, I'll start with you. This was a much anticipated decision by the US Supreme Court. Were you surprised by the ruling?
Well, they have a very different system to Australia. And we have in this country have just been through a very, difficult survey, and we now have full civil marriage rights for all Australians. And I think it would be very much a backward step if we replace that with some form of discrimination.
What about you, Michael? What did you make of the ruling?
Well, I welcome the outcome, although I do think it has a fairly limited applicability in our Australian context. We have very different legislative and constitutional structures. And so whilst I think that there are some good things in the judgment, I'm not sure that it will make a lot of difference domestically.
Okay. Well, it won't make a lot of difference in our country, of course, because it's happening somewhere else. But we're having the same debate here. And there is a religious freedom review. You both have strong views about where that should land. I'll start with you, Andrew. Where should that land? Because Philip Ruddock has taken many submissions, a range of views. Do you think religious freedoms need strengthening?
Well, I think we have to separate very clearly institutions from businesses. And I don't think a cake baker is a religious institution. And I think most people absolutely would defend to the death the right of an institution of religion, be it a school or a church, to run its own affairs under its own teachings. But that's very different to running a cake-making shop on a main street where you have, at the moment, the Sex Discrimination Act prohibiting you from discriminating based on sexuality. So I think that's quite a clear line, and I'd like to see that line hold.
What do you make of that, Bishop Michael Stead? Do you think that that line should shift and that that should be a changed outcome from this review?
Well, perhaps surprisingly, I largely agree with what Andrew has just said. That is, I would with him affirm the right of religious institutions to continue to do what they do. And generally speaking, when somebody is in trade and commerce, they shouldn't be able to discriminate against an individual on the basis of a protected attribute like sex or gender, sexual orientation or anything like that. But I don't think that that's what happened in the Phillips case in the States, and certainly that's not what I'm arguing for here. I think there's something slightly different at play. It's probably worth noting that in the American case of which the Supreme Court just passed its judgment, this was somebody who was perfectly willing to serve people who are gay. He said as much. He said he would even sell them off-the-shelf baked products, even a wedding cake off-the-shelf. The issue was he didn't want to be compelled to say something that he didn't believe by means of his artistic talent in creating a wedding cake. And so it's not about trade and commerce per se. It's about being forced to participate in something against a religious belief.
Do you see a distinction there?
I find that very hard to follow, to be honest. I think that if you're in business and you're providing services, then you need to provide those services to people. If you draw a line on sexuality, where does it end? I don't think we'd want to see taxi drivers discriminate based on colour or sexuality. So I think we have to be very firm around that line. The businesses just need to serve the community as per their current Sexual Discrimination Act, and institutions are entirely different. And what the review is supposed to do is tell us, have we got full protection for institutions?
Do we?
What do you think? I don't know. I mean, the state constitutions apparently have some issues. The Commonwealth Constitution has quite a narrow religious protection. And I think these are the issues that Ruddock should come back and say, well, we need to make some changes to, not shops and commerce.
So you've heard the argument there, Bishop Michael Stead. What do you think that the Ruddock Review should recommend? Is there a weakness? Are Australia's religious institutions like yours not adequately protected?
No, they largely aren't protected. That That's not to say that they're suffering terrible discrimination at the moment. Largely, there's been a great respect for religious freedom in Australia, but that's not because we have any legislative protection. That's not as a result of Section 116 of the Constitution or of any federal legislation. And I think that is the concern, that at the moment, there's nothing stopping any state passing legislation which could restrict the religious freedom of institutions, force church schools to employ people who didn't necessarily share that religious faith of that school and things like that. And that's the concern, that the protections that we have are largely consensual. They're not based on any legislative backing.
So do you support law reform then, Bishop Michael Stead, to change the parameters of, just like we have a Sex Discrimination Act, to have a Religious Discrimination Act?
That's one way to do it, and that's being pursued in the New South Wales legislature at the moment. Another way to do that is to reframe the way that we do our existing discrimination laws. At the moment, we have certain discrimination laws which cast religious freedom in terms of an exemption to that law. I think it would be better to have a freestanding recognition of religious freedom as a right that needs to be protected along with non-discrimination rights for individuals, and then work out a way of respecting both rights as best we can, and balancing those rights where they need to be balanced.
If you're just tuning in, this is RN Drive, and we're having a discussion about religious freedoms. The Ruddock Review was commissioned by Malcolm Turnbull to look at whether religious freedoms were adequate in Australia, and this happened in the wake of the same-sex marriage law reform. So now there is this debate, there is this report, we haven't seen it, but still the debate continues. Bishop Michael Stead is one of my guests, and Andrew Bragg, who led the coalition's campaign for the Yes side, is also here. One suggestion that has been raised is the idea of a Bill of Rights that explicitly enshrines religious freedom. Is that a way forward, Andrew? Would you support something like that?
Well, a Bill of Rights is a horrible idea, and it would basically be saying that the Parliament has given up on rights, and it would be an enormous transfer of power to unelected judges. And I think what you would see would be what you see in the United States, where people are chosen for their political position rather than their judicial capacity, if you like. So I think that although the marriage survey last year was torturous for some, certainly it was a circuit breaker, and it did deliver new rights. So I think that shows that the Parliament can deliver new rights and do it on the basis upon, or do it from the basis of elected representation, which is the best way for our system to continue. I think a Bill of Rights would be a horrible distortion.
What about you, Michael? Would you support a Bill of Rights?
Patricia, I completely agree with Andrew. I wouldn't support the Bill of Rights as a way of solving this. And in a sense, if we did go down that route, we would end up exactly where the American Supreme Court is at the moment, with appointed judges making decisions about these rights, which really ought to be resolved by the Parliament. I think that there is a better way to do this in terms of working out balancing mechanisms within legislation rather than just abdicating that responsibility to judges.
Do you accept, though, Michael Stead, that there is always a tension, isn't there, between rights? I mean, you know, if for in the case of gay people's rights, there is a tension between those and religious rights. How do you resolve those if you do change the laws, but we also have, of course, other protected rights? Is there a tension?
I think there has to be a tension, but I think one of the good things to come out of the Supreme Court judgment is a recognition that there is a tension, that there are actually legitimate religious beliefs that do inform people's decisions and their actions and their beliefs, and forcing people to say what they don't believe is actually that there's a problem with that. That's not something that we should be affirming as a society. And so recognising that right is going to push up at some points with other rights, and working out how to arbitrate between those rights, that we can provide legislative framework for at least recognising where those boundaries might be.
And how would that, Michael Stead, change things tangibly, you know, in terms of people's everyday lives? Because you did say before, it's fair to say that there's no like massive attack on religious freedoms or the right of religious people and religious institutions to pursue their beliefs fully in this country. So what are we trying to correct?
I think we're trying to prevent what we're seeing unfolding overseas. And so almost in every jurisdiction where same-sex marriage has become law, it's been followed by a period of 5 or 10 years of of lawfare, of legal battles about trying to arbitrate the balances between these rights. And they're still going on in the States, and I imagine they're going to go on for another 5 or 10 years based on the most recent decision. And I don't think that's a helpful way forward, is just to let those disputes happen, because they will keep coming up. That we haven't seen too many of them in Australia yet, because we've only just changed the law about marriage.
So this is about preventing so-called lawfare, your language, yep, in the wake of the same-sex marriage decision, in your view?
Absolutely. It would be preferable for us to not end up where America is at the moment, and instead for our elected parliamentarians to frame these laws appropriately.
I mean, I think there will definitely be a test case here in Australia around the Baker situation that we saw in the US, and the Sex Discrimination Act will be tested. And I think, you know, there'll be a range of views on how the courts will deal with that. But I think a useful framework to use here is that institutions are protected to the nth degree, and right, if you can improve that, that's fine. But businesses are businesses, and they're different from institutions. And if the court wants to overturn the Sexual Discrimination Act to provide a freedom for someone, then I'm just not sure where that stops.
Where does it stop, Bishop Michelstead?
I think I would largely agree. I think a business is a business, and it's in the ordinary course of commerce, a business.
But how about that scenario you set up for us before in the United States, where a specific cake was asked to be made, as you said, a particular kind of case, not just off-the-shelf cakes, yep, but, you know, and that happened in Australia. Do you think that person should be allowed to deny service?
Well, the question is, why are they denying service? So if the question is, are they denying service because it's a gay couple, then they should be prosecuted under the Anti-Discrimination Act. That's discrimination unlawfully. If the reason is has nothing to do with the sexual orientation or gender or attraction of the people, but the kind of event that the person's being asked to participate in. In other words, if that couple's, gay couple's parents had come in and said, we want a cake for our son and partner's gay wedding, and he'd refuse them, he wouldn't be refusing on the basis of the sexual orientation of those parents. It's about what he's being asked to participate in. So there's quite, in my mind, there's a distinction there.
Okay,
I think that's a good reason why they shouldn't go anywhere near that, because it's difficult to follow why there would be a basis for denying service.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there, but it is a fascinating discussion. We'll be better informed when we see this report. I'm looking forward to the government making it public. Thank you to both of you for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you, Patricia.
Bishop Michelstead is the Bishop of South Sydney, and Andrew Bragg directed the Liberals and Nationals for Yes campaign during the postal survey on marriage equality. What do you make of this debate? Do we need a strengthened, you know, set of laws for religious freedom in this country? 0418 226 576.